most of the AI is going to be doing is it's going to be replacing certain tasks. So it's not really about replacing jobs. Unless your job consists only of those tasks that can be replaced by AI, then you have a threat of being, let's say, automated away. Let's say you're a lawyer and you have 10 major tasks that you do in your day-to-day functions. And some of those tasks might be researching briefs, but some of those tasks are really about getting new clients, talking with your clients. Those functions, AI wouldn't be able to do, but the AI could help you with some of the legal research. The most likely scenario is that most jobs will be augmented by this technology, which means that some of the tasks that you do in your day-to-day jobs can be done by the AI, and then you would probably spend more time doing other things, or you would have new tasks that would come about.
Recently on social media, we saw a famous photo of a building under construction with a banner saying, "Hey, ChatGPT, finish this building." This points out that AI can't replace certain jobs. So which jobs do you think might be destroyed by AI, and which new jobs will be created by AI?
People who are in fields where you're using your hands, there's human contact, you're really engaging with people physically, in a sense, you're going to be protected. AI can't finish a building. It might help in maybe making some of the designs behind a building, so it maybe could help the engineers or some of the people drafting the plans for the building. We've been doing a study at the ILO looking at which occupations would likely be most affected of the latest type of AI, which is the large language models, such as ChatGPT, for example. And what we find is that it's really clerical professions that are going to be most affected. Almost 80% of their tasks are likely to be affected by AI.
Are there any differences on this level between developed countries and developing countries? Which ones are set to suffer the most?
Clerical support workers are an important group in high-income and middle-income countries. They're not as present in lower-income countries. If you look at countries between upper-middle-income, lower-middle-income, and then low-income, and it really goes proportionally downward. And that's just a reflection of the economic diversification of countries at different levels of economic development. But if you think, for example, the Philippines and India are the leading countries in the world with call center workers. And this is an area that has the potential to be replaced by AI. Now, again, this depends a little bit on how that call center worker is being used. So if it's a company that really wants to have human contact, then the AI can be used to augment. So for example, in a Filipino call center, they used a version of ChatGPT to give prompts to new employees on how they should answer questions. And this helped them in their jobs, and they actually decreased turnover. But there's also the potential of just replacing the workers. And countries that have a real development strategy in business process outsourcing could be at risk.
In terms of the effects on developing countries, the positive effects of AI helping boost productivity might not be available to those countries. We know that there's a little under 3 billion people who are offline, and most of them are in low-income countries. Do you think they will be able to have any access to the AI revolution?
And that's really the biggest concern. Because of the digital divide and so many people and actually so many enterprises not having access to internet, having broadband connection that's too expensive, or even just having electricity outages all the time, those are things that really are going to constrain businesses and their workers from being able to use the AI, which means then that this productivity divide between high-income countries and low-income countries is likely to expand more.
Let's talk now about how AI influences the way people work and what work is like. You recently took part in a panel discussion titled, "What If Your Boss Was AI?" Is this something that might be happening in the near future, and what will the consequences be?
This is something that's happening already to some professions. So people who are in the gig economy, who are basically controlled by an algorithm, that is a type of AI that's managing their day-to-day work. I see someone who works at a warehouse, for example, who gets instructions from an automated system, what box to pick up and what to do. All that is being controlled by AI. AI is setting the pace. Of course, there's humans behind that. We shouldn't lose sight of that. But there are people already who are in a situation where their day-to-day is completely set by the technology, and they have little chance of actually speaking to a manager and saying, "Look, I twisted my ankle, I can't walk as fast, I have an issue here." That is certainly a concern for them.
For sure. And in a world where we have billions of people who are not covered by any form of social protection, do you think the rise of AI is going to make work conditions even more precarious?
Yeah, I mean, it's not just social protection, it's really about labor protection in general and the people's ability to have voice in the workplace. Do the workers have a say in the design of the technological system that's being put in place in the workplace? We know countries where you have strong collective bargaining, strong workplace negotiation, let's say like the Nordic countries and even Germany where you have work councils. When you have technology in general, not just AI, being integrated into the workplace, there's less fear from the workers because they have more of voice, more control into how that technology is being used to set their daily work. There's different types of job quality. On the one hand, you can have what we call extrinsic dimensions, so how much you're paid, what type of contract you have. Those things are very important. But then there's other issues, intrinsic dimensions, such as the autonomy, the pace at which work is being set. And all those issues are really important to people. And so when they don't have a say that deteriorates their working conditions, if they don't have that collective negotiation, that's a real problem.
Another field in which AI is increasingly being used in the labor market is recruiting. It's being used to screen candidates, and the proponents of this method are saying that this allows them to avoid certain biases. Others are saying, however, that AI has its own dangerous biases. What is your view on that?
We have to remember that the AI is being designed by humans, and it's also being trained on what humans have produced. And so all of that means that there's potential biases in all of the training information. So we have seen that it has been biased in some of the recruiting, and it's an issue because there's an incentive for a lot of firms to be using AI in recruitment. There certainly are benefits about it, but it's going to be hard to know to what extent some people aren't getting the same access because of their gender or race or ethnic group.
Overall, would you say that for the main stakeholders here, and indeed the main stakeholder groups of the International Labour Organization, right now, is AI being viewed as more of a threat, or are they excited about the opportunity that it represents for productivity, for automation of certain tasks, and freeing up workers to do more higher added value tasks?
I think it is that mix. There is that certain benefit that it can augment what we do at work and allow us to have more time to do more interesting things, but then there's concern about who are the people who are going to be displaced? Are there labor protections in place for those people to train into other jobs? Do they have access to training? Will they get income support during that training? All those are really important questions. And are there enough jobs? Because already there's a lot of people in the world without sufficient employment, and so a lot of the productivity gains mean that there's fewer workers needed. One person's drudgery is another person's livelihood.